What is the old you? What does the old you look like? Maybe you think of the younger you. Maybe you think of the less mature you, or the you before Jesus took a place in your life. The Bible says that in each of us there is an old you as well as a new you, an old life and a new life. And we find that in our reading of the scriptures today. There's a quote I want us to read together that was written by Augustine of Hippo around the 5th century about what this looks like. And it'll be on the screen. Let's read this together. There is no saint without a past, no sinner without a future. So beautifully written. And you see God's grace on both sides of that. As sinners who have been called now saints by the redemptive power of God. But we still feel the tension of the old life trying to creep up every once in a while. Maybe in an argument, the old you tries to creep on back. Maybe in a temptation, the old you tries to creep on back. So what do we do with that? I want to share some powerful testimonies, which are the ways that God has encountered somebody and taken them from an old way or an old life into a new life and a new way with Christ. There's three testimonies I'm going to read throughout this message of people who are in our family here at Christ the King that wanted to share so that we can have hope and their witness of how God took them from an old life into a new life. The first, a young man of Christ the King, wrote this. My old life, it was driven by self-centered desires, constantly chasing after fleeting pleasures and material success. I thought happiness was something I could acquire. But this mindset led me to make choices that hurt others while justifying my own actions, because I felt entitled to a better life. But at my lowest point, God's grace broke through, revealing to me that everything I was chasing was leading me towards destruction. There's a scripture, Romans 6, verse 23, that became painfully clear to me, which says, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." I saw this truth firsthand as I watched friends end up dead or in prison from the sins that bound them. But thankfully in Jesus, I found freedom from that grip of sin. And through his grace, I was given a peace far beyond anything the world could offer, realizing true fulfillment is not found in what I can take, but in what I can give and how I can live for God's glory. Jesus did not just change my circumstances, he changed my heart. He took me from my old self and invited me into my new self, which is clothed in Christ and more hopeful than before. To encourage you, choosing to walk with Christ does not mean your problems vanish. If you're living in sin, God wants to do a good work in your life. But I can tell you from my experience, bring your shame and your guilt to light and into Christ's presence, for it will be far better than living there. Amen? That's one story of an old life transformed into a new life. What's your story? And how do we navigate that tension? When the old life wants to creep its way back in, the old temptations that you had asked for forgiveness come back knocking on the door of your soul. What do we do next? Colossians 3 shows us the clear path forward. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there, and on your study notes, the scripture is there. Utilize that. Mark up what God is speaking and revealing to you as he shares his active living word of truth. Colossians 3, verses 1 through 4, tells us where to start. It says, first, if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. That's a beautiful picture of baptism. They get to discover their hidden life in Christ. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. So to summarize that, where did the word tell us to start? If we're looking to step out of the old and into the new, to put on our new self every day, where do we start? It says, start with the way you think. The way you think about the world, the way you think about yourself, the way you think about Jesus. Start there and watch God do something as he renews your mind. The command was, we have to think more of heaven than we do of the worries of this earth. So, practical ways to start. How much time and energy are you pouring into opening up the Word of God? That will expel all lies that we have believed, all falsities that we have let speak into us too much. The truth will speak into those places and melt those things away. Second, worship. The more we worship, the less we worry. Isn't it pretty challenging to worship and worry at the same time? One will trump the other. Same with opening the word. Either the lies we've believed for too long will remain, or God's truth will melt those things away like wax. So that's where we can start. Worship and God's word. And let him renew your mind in doing so. One more testimony of a woman of Christ the King Church shared this about how God renewed her mind as she tried to step out of her old life and into her new life. She wrote, "In my old life, I viewed myself in a negative way. I would hate myself. I was bitter towards myself. I would often call myself stupid, and I questioned myself often. But when I found my new life in Christ, and I began going to church and connecting to Jesus, he made me realize my negative way of thinking, and he renewed my mind. Jesus changed my mind, and I now know he has a plan for me, and I will keep moving towards that plan." Amen. The renewed mind. Is everything you think holy thoughts? Is everything you think pleasing to what Jesus says about you and others? There's renewal work to be done. Let God renew your mind. Second, continues in Colossians 3, verses 5 through 11. Once we take that step, we have to let go of some things. It reads, "Put to death, therefore, what's earthly in you, which is sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed," hear that, "in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian and Scythian, slave and free, but Christ is all and in all." There's a lot there. If you're not in Christ, it sounds like a lot of to-dos. A lot of commands, a lot of weight. But if you're in Christ, it sounds like a lot of freedom to let those things go, doesn't it? A lot of relief, a lot of forgiveness, a lot of Christ's work in the life of his child. It ended with something that didn't seem like it fit with the rest. Mentioning all those different people groups at the end, it's important because it hit on three different identities that the church was finding themselves rely on more than their God-given identity. It says Greek and Jew. That was a religious identity along with circumcised and uncircumcised. That was something that they used to exclude others, say, you're not welcome here or in the presence of God with us. They used a religious identity to allow some in the door and keep others out. He said, you got to let go of that. Where we find our identity in a religion apart from the presence of God, we have to let go of. He also talked about cultural identity, Greek and Jew. Those were cultures in those times. Say, you're either a part of us or a part of them. He said, where you separate each other out because of your culture and use that as a barrier to not interact with other people, it's time to let that go. Put it off. Use your cultures to come together in the presence of God, not put up more barriers that Christ knocked down by the power of the cross. So bring your culture to the throne of God and don't use your culture to keep others out of your life or of God's presence. Third, it talked about social classes. Barbarians and Scythians, those were not very great people. Slaves and the free. Talked about whatever place in this world you find yourself. Wealthy or impoverished. Enslaved or free. Whatever social class you identify with. Don't get your identity from that place. Let that go. Get your identity from Christ and then influence the place he has put you in. So, where have you found identity too much from those things of a religion, of a culture, of a social class, or a place in life apart from the presence of God? Let it go. And receive the identity in Christ in your new life. Something happened recently at home that I'm not very proud of. I had gone down one day to bring down my laundry and to do my laundry. And I continued throughout my day, left home in a bit of a rush and returned back. And as I returned, my amazing wife, Anna, greeted me with that tone that you know I did something wrong and I have no clue what it is. I love the laughs because they know exactly what I'm talking about. I'm trying to think, what did I do or not do today? Turns out, she's a saint and she was going above and beyond in kindness and folding my laundry for me to help me out, knowing that it was a busy day. She folded a few articles of my clothing, and then she got to my socks and realized these are not cleaned laundry. I've been folding his dirty laundry this whole time, and he let me do this. To that, I was greeted with that coming home. And I think about that. When our verse in Colossians is saying it's time to put off these things, put off these false identities, put off these sins, put off these areas of just sexual immorality, pain, lying, using our words to take others down rather than to build them up. It's saying put those things off like they are dirty laundry and leave them there to be washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Kind of that holy bleach that can renew the stench that we have put upon ourselves by choosing things apart from God. So it's saying, in summary, put off the old and put on the new. Put off the old life, just like you can put off your dirty clothes and leave them in the laundry to be washed, and put on the new. Imagine if when you were bathing, you went and instead of grabbing clothes out of your closet or your dressers, you went to your laundry bin. You got dressed, and then you came to church in all those old clothes. But we do that with our old way of life. We let the old temptations come back up, and we put them back on. We let our old way of thinking creep back in. Normally, they creep up pretty quick when an argument ensues. The old life, the old way of thinking, the old sins can creep up pretty quickly. So if we wouldn't do that with our clothes, why do we let that happen to our souls and let those things take us over and put on that stench that they left to those around us? Like he said, it's going to lead to division. It's going to lead to impurity. It's going to lead to pain in relationships if you let that stench remain. And if you go around walking in these dirty areas all day long. But he says, with Christ, he can wash and renew those dirty areas, use them for his good, and give you a new, fresh pair of clothes to put on, fresh linen, and all. So what's that area for you that God is inviting you? It's time to put this away. It's time to take a step of faith and believe something better. It's time to acknowledge that area of your life that you know isn't pleasing or God's way for you, but you've just sat in it too long. It's time to be honest about those things that you've thought, I'm just always going to be this way. I'm always going to struggle with this temptation. I'm always going to do this. It's just the way I am. Our reading says, nope, we don't have to accept those things and just say it's just the way I am. We need God's help to wash and renew us so we don't walk around like the stench of wearing dirty clothes, of our dirty old ways. So what do we put on instead? It tells us in verse 12. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against one another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. The new life looks like a change of motivation. I no longer do everything for me. I do it for Christ. Like we heard in our testimonies, one final testimony to share. A man of Christ the King Church wrote this: my old life was filled with many challenges that felt as though they were what I deserved for my actions I had done. I tried to change myself through selfish motives by doing whatever I wanted. Through constant failure, I felt lost and hopeless. That's when my heart was led to try church, which was something I had felt unworthy to be a part of. The very first time I came back to Jesus through a church service, I felt like a wave had crashed over me. My body was trembling before the powerful and amazing presence of God. It was an intense feeling, but I had no fear. And it was that night God spoke to me in a dream and said, my son, you are exactly where you're meant to be with me. My new life still has its many challenges, but the challenges no longer overwhelm me as they once did, because I know Jesus is with me. Amen? That is the old life taken into the new life. The old life, which results in thankfulness, peace, and love. Who doesn't want more thankfulness? Who doesn't want more peace? Who doesn't need more love? Are those three things the first things everybody encounters when they are with you. Love, peace, thankfulness. Imagine if those three things were the first things you encountered when you went to school, when you went to work, when you went home, when you gathered with friends. Love, peace, and thankfulness that it talked about in Colossians 3. The only way to get those, it says, is through Jesus Christ. May we let go of the old ways of us trying to find love apart from him. Receive peace, not on his path. And be thankful without being thankful to God through Jesus Christ. Take a step of faith into his new life he made for you. For he showed us, and he died so that we don't have to wait for death to receive heaven now. But he died on the cross for you, so that heaven could come into your life, so that his spirit could fill you up now, and that you remember your baptism, where Jesus said you must be baptized with water and spirit. He freely gives. You need more of him and his Holy Spirit? Ask him. He freely gives. He wants you to be conformed to the image of his son, Jesus Christ. So in closing, I want to summarize the 3 points we receive from the Word of God in Colossians 3. First, the invitation, will you let God renew your mind? The first step is saying, God, I need to think your thoughts, not my own. Plug into his word and start worshiping him and watch what he will do to renew your mind. Second, put off your old self like old dirty clothes. Leave it there. Don't let it stay there like I did for other people to receive the ugliness of that. Leave it there for God to wash and cleanse and give you something better as he leads you to put on your new self in Christ like you put on those new clean clothes. Put on Christ today and let the world see him in and through you. Will you step into that? Not just on a Sunday, but every moment. And when you put on your new clothes after you bathe and wash, may that be a reminder, Lord, I put on my new self in Christ today. As you wash and cleanse yourself, you be reminded, Lord, I'm reminded of my baptism where you cleansed me, not from dirt, but of sin and destruction in my old life. Be reminded, worship, and step into your new life. It first takes that commitment. And if you need more of him, as we pray, just ask God directly. You can go directly to the Father. Lord, I need more of your spirit. My family needs more of your spirit. Come in and fill us again. Fill me again and overflow. So it's only my new life that people see and not my old. Ask for his forgiveness if you're convicted of some of those things of old ways creeping back in. And let him wash those like dirty clothes and bring them out new, fresh, for you to wear your new life in Christ every day moving forward. Let's pray. Lord, we have let too much of the old self dominate our way of thinking, living, and acting. Wash us again this morning by your Holy Spirit and fill us that we may walk in the new life you died so we could receive as your children. If there's anyone, God, that's crying out for more of you and more of your Holy Spirit, God, fill them up with your presence that they may overflow with love, peace, and thanksgiving, God. Thank you that you have better in store for us than we could have ever found or accomplished without you. We love you, and we give our lives to you, Jesus. In your name we pray, and all God's children said, amen.